We shall turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read together in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. We will read from verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Here is an instant cure. And how remarkable are these words? Not just immediately he was cured, but as soon as Jesus had spoken, as soon as the words came out of his mouth, he was cured. The leper was cleansed from his leprosy. What a sight that must have been, because this was a dreadful skin disease. And it was so apparent, so obvious that the leper had this disease, it was loathsome and repulsive to anyone who saw it. And suddenly, at the word of Jesus, the leper is healed. As soon as Jesus speaks, immediately the leper is cured. From his skin goes from being scaly and covered with dirty sores to being healthy and fresh and clean. This was a true miracle, and it shows that the Lord is both able and willing to perform it when he says, I will, be thou clean. And we might ask, is the Lord still able and willing to perform this kind of miracle? Well, we know that he is able to do all things. And in the spiritual realm, he is able and willing to cure spiritual lepers. He's just as able and just as willing to cure spiritual lepers as he was then. He is able and willing now. He's still affected, still moved with compassion towards sinners on earth, even though he's in heaven. Jesus has a merciful heart in heaven to sinners on earth. He's still affected by spiritual lepers who are moaning and grieving because of their loathsome condition as sinners. And if you come to him as the leper came to Jesus, and you confide in him, and you say from the heart, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, the Lord will be moved with compassion, and he will touch you spiritually, and you will receive an instant cure. Your salvation will be immediate. That should be your desire and mine this Sabbath morning, to receive spiritual healing from the Lord Jesus Christ. But do we recognize our condition? Do we recognize our great need of being cured? When we preach about the compassion of Christ and his willingness to cure sinful people like ourselves, we often ask ourselves, but is there anyone who feels their need of that compassion? Anyone who is questioning whether the Lord pities them in their condition? Do we feel our sin to be a dreadful disease, and are we longing for a spiritual deliverance? Well, we consider in the first place the leper's condition. A man who had a dreadful disease. The leper's condition. And in the second place, we will consider the leper's confidence. He had confidence in the power of Christ. He certainly showed his submission to Christ, even though he might have wondered whether Jesus was willing. He was submitting to the sovereign power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The leper's confidence. And in the third place, we will consider the Savior's compassion. Jesus saw the leper approach him, and he was moved with compassion towards that poor leper. And we will consider that in the third place, the Savior's compassion. And in the fourth place, we will think about the Savior's willingness to cleanse, the willingness of Christ to cure spiritual lepers. So we have these four things to consider this Sabbath morning. First, the leper's condition and our own spiritual condition as sinners. Secondly, the leper's confidence. Thirdly, the Savior's compassion. And fourthly, the Savior's willingness to cleanse. He is willing to cure and cleanse and heal spiritual lepers like us this Sabbath morning. Do we believe this? Do we confide in his power? Do we believe that he's willing to help us? Do we go to him for spiritual healing? First of all, the leper's condition. Verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Here's a sight indeed, a leper approaching Jesus. It is something that was unexpected. The gospel according to Luke has the word, behold, there was a man full of leprosy. And this man is actually coming to Jesus. He's approaching the Lord Jesus. And this is not what would be expected. Usually lepers stay away from other people, because lepers were unclean. They were ceremonially unclean and excluded from the rest of society. And here's a man who the gospel according to Luke again says is full of leprosy. Behold, a man full of leprosy, chapter 5, verse 12. And so the leprosy of this man had reached a very advanced stage. He was full of leprosy. Now, this is a disease that we still find today. It's also known as Hansen's disease. And it's a disease affecting the skin. The word leprosy in the Greek means scaly or rough. And in the Old Testament, this term included many kinds of skin diseases. And probably included the disease that is known today as leprosy. So this disease was widespread in Israel. And it was a picture, again, it's a picture of sin. The Lord is teaching us by these diseases and these troubles that people experience. It was to teach Israel the need of spiritual healing. And there were ceremonial activities that surrounded the leper in Israel. Well, this disease begins with pain in certain parts of the body, and there is numbness, and the skin in these spots loses its color. The skin becomes thick and scaly, and these soon turn into ulcers and sores, and the skin around the eyes bunches up, and the face has the appearance of a lion. The person is feeling the effects of leprosy all over, and especially at the extremities. The fingers and toes may even drop off. And so the leper is full of leprosy. Here's one who has leprosy at a very advanced stage, and the leper even emits a foul odor, and you can hear the effects in the voice. The leper has a raspy voice. And so in these days in Israel, the leper would have to stay outside the camp, and he would go around wherever he went crying, unclean, unclean, so that whoever may be around would scatter away from him. And he would go around with his raspy voice and with his upper lip covered, and perhaps covered with his own hand is what the covering was. And he would cry, unclean, unclean. The leper could not join with others. He was excluded from the rest of society. And we read about Miriam when she got leprosy as punishment for her rebellion along with Aaron. She was excluded, cut off from the camp for 7 days. And we also remember Uzziah, the king. Even though he was a king, when he got leprosy, he had to live in a separate house, and he was cut off from the house of the Lord. So the lepers in these days, they were isolated. What a miserable condition to be full of leprosy with this awful skin disease and to be separated from other people. Well, that is certainly a picture of the disease that we identify as sin. It's not a physical disease, it's a spiritual disease. Sin is a reality. And leprosy in the Bible is a picture that symbolizes the abhorrent nature of sin. It's a disease. Leprosy was a disease that spread throughout the body. And we see how sin affects every area of our being. It infects our mind and how we think. And our evil thoughts reach down into our hearts and affect our feelings and our attitude and influences our purposes. Sin affects our desires. The affections are tainted with sin. We recognize this ourselves, our corrupt desires affected by our evil thoughts. Sin spreads from the heart to the actions, into our hands and our fingers, what we do, how we act and behave. We sin with our eyes and our lips and our hands. We sin against God, breaking his commandments in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, in heart, in speech, and behavior. Leprosy is a contagious disease and affects others through droplets of water in the air, coughing or sneezing. Well, sin likewise affects others. It spreads throughout the camp, as it were. We are sadly more affected by the evil practice of others than the good and godly example of the righteous. Why is it? When people grow up in the church, they have good, godly examples all around them, but they see some people who are not so conformed to the practice of the church, and those are the examples they follow. They can do it, why can't we do it? And before long, from one generation to another, the practice of the church declines, and people are not so godly and not so righteous and not so conscientious and circumspect as before, because we so readily follow the bad example of others and not the good example. Oh, let us lay this to heart. The evil of our hearts, we're so inclined to follow the evil practice and the worldly practice of those who are even in the church, but show less attachment to the truth and the standards of the Word of God and the principles of God's Word. It's because of the leprosy of sin, the contagious nature of sin, and it is a loathsome thing indeed. The leper would be a burden to himself. He would never want to see himself in the mirror. And we are reluctant to get truly acquainted with the reality of our own case. We don't want to know about ourselves. It's too humbling, too alarming. We're so ready to justify our attitudes and our condition. But we need to look at ourselves in the mirror of the Word of God and see ourselves as lepers, deformed, infected, diseased. The leper would be repulsed by his own stench. He couldn't stand himself, his own voice. It was a disease that was loathsome to himself and to others. Now you remember Job. He didn't have leprosy. He had boils all over his skin. What some have called elephantitis, but he says himself that his flesh, he says, Job chapter 7, verse 5, "My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome." Job couldn't stand himself. And so it is with a person who is getting some sight of his sin. If we're feeling our sin as we ought, we would feel it to be a repulsive condition. It's a situation that we would wish to escape, but we can't. We would have to leave our own skin in order to get rid of the burden of sin. We carry about with us a body of sin and death. But are we feeling it like Job did? He does say later on, "Behold, I am vile." Have we ever said that? Ask yourself, have you ever honestly said, "Behold, I'm vile"? My pride is loathsome. This enmity in my heart against God, I'm actually beginning to see this is repulsive. A creature created by the hand of God, defying God to his face. Oh, what a loathsome being I am. Have we felt our sin to be a great burden like David, who says in Psalm 38, verse 7, which we sang, "For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh." Perhaps that was a literal disease, but it certainly also describes how he felt about his sin. Have we felt this way about our sin? Does our sense of sin bring out cries and groans about ourselves? Do our sinful passions, outbursts, evil thoughts, whatever it may be, does it bring us alarm? Does it cause us grief? When we think about our sins and sin bringing trouble into our lives or our families, our sin causing others grief, perhaps. Our sin bringing misery into our own souls and bringing God's displeasure upon us. Truly, sin is a hateful thing. A sinful condition is a loathsome condition. Have we felt it to be loathsome? Or is it still head knowledge to us? We're not really affected by our sin any more than we were when we were five, when we started learning the catechism. We're all sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we can say that, and it doesn't affect us at all. And some people can point out our own failings, and it doesn't affect us. Our conscience might trouble us, but we're not feeling the loathsomeness of sin. Oh, it is time to feel sin to be what it is, a loathsome disease filling our loins with pain, extorting groans and moans and cries from our hearts, because it is a painful thing, sin. Have we come to see the disappointments sin brings, the heartache that sin brings into our experience? For the Israelites, leprosy was an incurable disease. No one knew how to cure it. No one could point, well, here's a plant or a medicine, an herb that would treat the case and you could expect a cure. Some people did recover from leprosy, that's true. And there were times when the leper recovered and the priest would pronounce the person clean, but how the cure came about, they wouldn't know. And it was probably very rare, because you read about people who were lepers all the rest of their lives, more or less. So leprosy was an incurable disease. Today there are drugs that can treat this disease with more or less success. And yet in ancient times it was virtually impossible. But have we felt the disease of sin to be incurable? As to ourselves, we cannot recover ourselves. We cannot just come up with a cure and suddenly our pride is gone, our passions are a thing of the past. Perhaps you have struggled with evil thoughts or with sinful passions and attitudes, and you found yourself powerless. That this loathsome disease of sin is beyond your control. That's a hateful condition. Deplorable, miserable condition. Are we beginning to feel the effects of sin as how Jesus describes them, that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked spiritually? This spiritual condition, this awful, sinful condition, brings us into terrible isolation, as it was with the leper. The leper was commanded to be apart from others, secluded. You would see a leper walking past, you would get away from him, or he or she would get away from you. And so it is with sin. It excludes us from society. It excludes us from the people of God, and especially from God himself. That's what we need to think about sin. Sin separates us from God. We are cut off from God and blessedness in God. That's a fearful condition. And to go on like this is to be banished from God and his goodness forever and ever. That's what hell is. Separated from God and all that is good. All the enjoyments you ever knew on earth are completely gone from you forever. No more smiles from your family, no more comforts from food and enjoyments of this life. They're all gone. No more gratification, no more satisfaction to any degree, but eternally excluded from fellowship with God and his people, confined to the company of devils and evil people forever and ever. Eternal exclusion. A fearful condition, because sin is the abominable thing that God hates. And are we seeing sin to be hateful? Are we feeling sin to be a weighty burden that we want deliverance from? Do we loathe ourselves? Yes, do we loathe ourselves? Can't stand ourselves. Don't want to see ourselves in the mirror. It's too painful. It's loathsome to see ourselves. But we have to be honest. And those who are seeking a cure, they're going to admit the truth. It's a great mercy when we feel our sin to be a loathsome disease, filling our souls with pain and groaning. What else can we do? What is our response to this sinful condition? Will we just get on as best we can throughout life and pretend that we're not so bad and drown out our sorrows with worldly pleasures? Is that the solution? Do you feel all is hopeless? Are you on the border of despair? What is the answer? Where will you go? If you're a man full of leprosy, like this leper was, and you feel it, and you're tired of it, and you're weary of it, and you're groaning because of it, there's only one solution, and that is to go to Jesus. That's what the leper did. He went to Christ because he desired a cure. So we consider in the second place the leper's confidence. The leper's confidence. In verse 40, we read, "There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And the leper knew that though he was ceremonially unclean, yet if Jesus cleansed him, then the ceremonies of the law and being excluded from society would not apply to him anymore. He wouldn't have to worry about it being wrong for him to approach someone who could actually cure him. If he approached someone who was an inferior, a sibling or little brother, and touched that person, that would be wrong. But to touch someone and come to someone who can actually cure the disease, well, then the ceremonies of the law would not apply. And he knew that he could not surely taint someone who actually cleanses him. Well, this was the response of the leper to the knowledge that he had of Jesus, who had cured many people. Perhaps he didn't know about Jesus curing any lepers. It's thought that perhaps this leper was the first one that Jesus cured. But here the leper comes to him, and he shows his earnestness in beseeching Jesus. He pleads with Christ. He eagerly desires Christ's help. And he bows before the Lord. He kneels down. He comes as a humble beggar. He shows great respect to Jesus. He knows he doesn't deserve a cure. He comes beseeching, begging for a cure. And in Matthew's gospel, we read that the leper worshipped Jesus. And so he honors Christ, kneeling before him, giving him homage, and he acknowledges the power of Christ to heal him. And this is what he says, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." How short, how brief are his words. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It's very brief. It indicates that there was no doubt in his mind that Jesus could cure him. Lord, thou can. There's no question. I don't doubt it. I know it. The Lord can cure me. And when he calls him Lord, perhaps there was more than just acknowledging him as any master, but that he is the Lord whom God had appointed to be the Savior of sinners. We don't read that he acknowledged him to be the Christ, but there is so much in the word Lord and in his acknowledging the power of Christ to cure him. And you contrast this with the father of the demon-possessed boy. Remember, he asked the disciples of Christ to cast out the demon, and they could not. And so the father of the child comes to Jesus at last. Jesus comes down from the mountain, and everyone scatters away. And the father says, "I brought to thee my son." The disciples couldn't cure him. And then he says, "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion and help us." So here is a man, the father of that child, who is questioning the very ability of Christ. If thou can. Not the leper. The leper doesn't question the power of Christ. He comes to Jesus saying, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." So you see the difference. The father said, "If thou can, thou wilt." The leper is saying, "If thou wilt, thou can." There's no question. You have to begin with the power of Christ, to have confidence in his ability. If you don't have confidence in the ability of someone to help you, why would you go to him or her? The leper had confidence in the power of Jesus Christ to cure him. He had heard or even seen the miracles Jesus did on others. He cured the blind and gave hearing to the deaf and the ability to walk to those who were lame. And the leper knew that if Jesus could perform one kind of miracle, he could perform another kind. He was confident in the power of Christ. Now, does that describe us? Have we come that far? There's no doubt in our mind the Lord can heal us instantly. He can cure us immediately. He can save our souls this very moment. That's conviction about the power of Christ. That's confidence in his power. If we were really assured of his power, that would go a long way to helping us in regard to his willingness. If we were really confident in the power of Christ, surely we would go to him. Well, the leper did. And yet there may have been a lingering question about whether Jesus would cure him. He says, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Now, perhaps others had questioned. Maybe it was an ongoing question. Would the Lord Jesus actually cure the lepers? Because the leper was not just a diseased person, but the leper was an unclean person. They might have thought it was unlikely that Jesus would actually cure and cleanse the leper. It may be surprising to us that anyone would think that, because we who know all the facts, that Jesus did exactly this. But we need to remember that in those days, the leper was excluded from society. It wasn't the blind man. The blind man could be at the temple begging, and the lame could be there as well, but not the leper. The leper was excluded, cut off from society. Would Jesus heal the leper? And though it may have been a question in the leper's mind, he still determined to seek a cure anyway. What about us? We may be doubting the willingness, but are we still coming to the Lord, even though we may have questions whether he would actually help us? Yet we have to come to him. We have no choice but to come to him. Was Jesus willing? That was a question. And so the leper is saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Was he really doubting the willingness of Christ? That's a question as well. Because there is so much in these words, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He is acknowledging the sovereignty of Christ. He acknowledged it is Christ who gives the cure to whom he will. And to give the cure or to withhold it was dependent upon his absolute will. The absolute will of Christ. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to submit to the authority, his authority as supreme Lord. No one can question his procedure. He is sovereign. And so the leper, he comes. He doesn't demand a cure. He doesn't say, if thou can, thou wilt. I expect that the Lord would, if he's able to save everybody, he would do that. And if he doesn't, then something's wrong. Oh, none of that. But that's the attitude of so many people. If God is infinite in power and he doesn't help everybody, then he must not be good. Wrong. Don't question the goodness of God, because God is sovereign. He does as he pleases, and no one deserves his goodness. We deserve his justice. We deserve to be punished in hell. That's what we deserve. Do we recognize that? Was our enmity coming to the surface and we're actually rebelling against the fact that God doesn't save everybody? Well, if we thought that God had to save everybody, that would be something that God was bound to do. That wouldn't be goodness and grace at all. Grace would just go out of the equation. If we thought that God had to, must save everybody, that he owed salvation to everybody, that would be justice. It wouldn't be goodness. It wouldn't be grace. God is gracious. He does save. He's also sovereign. He saves whom he will. And the leper acknowledges that. Thou hast the sole prerogative to bestow the blessing or not, to grant the cure or to withhold it. There's submission to the will of Christ. We must not think that we have some natural right to expect God to save us when we have rebelled against him, and we have wronged God, and we deserve to perish and suffer the just consequences of our sin to all eternity. We must acknowledge the wonderful condescension and mercy of God. And if the Lord would bestow salvation upon us, it would be an act of pure grace alone. We're at his sovereign disposal, and he has the right to give or to withhold. And so we must confess our sins, and we must acknowledge that we are not worthy of his mercy. We don't deserve to be converted. We don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve to be cured. God does not owe us salvation. He doesn't owe us the blessing. It is mere mercy, free grace and love, even to the most unworthy sinners. That's how we must approach him, like the leper. Come boldly, come kneeling, come earnestly, beseeching, and saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's boldness as well as humility. Lord, speak the word, and it will be done. If thou art willing to do it, Lord, I know there's nothing holding back from the putting forth of power. That is to acknowledge the supremacy of Christ. He had confidence in the power of Christ, and he submits to Christ's authority. And we must come like that. and also come with the knowledge, the full knowledge, of the willingness of Christ to help us. The Lord declares it in his word that he heals the brokenhearted. He assures us from his own mouth, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And we're to come because we have greater knowledge than the leper had. And if there was a lingering doubt in his mind whether the Lord would come, whether the Lord was willing to heal him, even when he came, the leper came to him, would the Lord still heal him? We know, without a shadow of a doubt, the Lord will cure all those who come to him. All those who confide in Jesus, he will save. There's not one doubt that is based on the scripture that the Lord cleanses all those who confide in him, come to him, trust in him. So we should be coming to him saying, Lord, thou canst heal me, and Lord, thou art willing to cure me. I know thou art able and willing. And if we come to the Lord who is waiting to be gracious to us, ready to forgive us, we will experience his compassion. Well, in the third place, let us consider Christ's compassion. Verse 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And Jesus came for this purpose, to save those who were lost, to heal those who are sick, to give sight to the blind. And he says that the lepers are cleansed. The gospel has the poor have the gospel preached to them. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Jesus saw the leper approach him, and this is his response. He was moved with compassion. We considered the compassion of Christ last Sabbath evening. In Song of Solomon chapter 5, his belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. The belly in the original is literally bowels, and bowels is a symbol of compassion. So it is here that when we read Jesus was moved with compassion, literally it is to be moved as to one's bowels. Now, the bowels were thought to be the seat of love and pity in these ancient times. And so the idea is that Jesus was moved within. There was a stirring of pity in his heart. He was moved with compassion, the feelings of love and tenderness towards this poor leper. Friends, do we realize that Jesus is a sympathetic Savior? He's full of compassion. He has compassion on those that are out of the way. As we read in Hebrews chapter 5, and who could be more out of the way than the leper? The lepers who were excluded from society. And here's a man who is full of leprosy. And Jesus has all the more pity, all the more tenderness to this man. Oh, how this should encourage us to go to Jesus. Like the leper did. He didn't know that Jesus was going to be moved with compassion to him. But we do know. We have the full story. We have all the facts. For all those who come to Jesus and are burdened with the guilt and the pollution of sin, and they come to Jesus for a cure, Jesus is moved with compassion for them. Every one of them. He truly cares about the person who is burdened with a sense of sin and grieving over his or her spiritual condition. This is what we have to remember, that when Jesus healed people, he healed with love. He cared about his patients. Sometimes you hear people talking about an uncaring doctor, that the person comes to the doctor's office and the doctor says, tell me what your problem is, what do you really want? And they write prescriptions and pills, and that's it. when the patient wants a diagnosis, the patient wants to know what is going to really help. Not all doctors are like that, of course. But we've all heard stories like that. Well, Jesus cared about his patients. He had compassion upon those who came to him. Their distress became his. Their pain became his by way of sympathy. I've quoted Thomas Goodwin before about Jesus taking the disease upon himself, as it were. He says, by the merit of taking the disease upon himself through a fellow feeling of it, sympathy, he took it off from them, being for them afflicted as if he himself had been sick. It's as if Jesus felt the leprosy that the leper had. And when he healed him, he was moved. He was stirred up within with pity and love. And we read that when Jesus healed people, at least with the woman, and this was describing all of his healing, no doubt, that he felt virtue come forth out of him. Energy was put forth. Sympathy went along with it. Jesus feels when he heals. He has compassion upon those whom he cures. And all those that come to him, he cures. And Jesus needed rest after healing the multitudes. He felt their pain and sorrow, which was taxing on his humanity. He took their infirmities. He bare their sicknesses. And he did that also by sin being imputed to him when he died for them. He felt their pain by sympathy, and also, as Matthew says, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That was by taking the cause of sickness upon himself, which was what? What was the cause of sickness? Sin. He took their sin upon himself when he bore the burden of guilt, suffering the wrath of God. Sin was put to his account. And because sin was imputed to him and put to his account, the wrath of God came upon him because he was standing in the place of his sinful people. He stood in the place of the guilty, and the wrath of God was poured out upon him, standing in the sinner's place. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses by suffering the consequences of sin, which was the wrath of God. He had the cause of sickness imputed to him, and the consequences came upon him. Himself suffered the infirmities and sicknesses of those whom he healed. All this to say that the compassion of Christ was deep and real, and that it should affect us. And the effect should be that we're moved to come to him. When we see Jesus moved with compassion to poor, leprous sinners like us, it should stir us up to go to him. And what kind of hearts do we have? When we can hear about the compassion and tenderness of Christ and remain unmoved and we're not affected, what hard, stony hearts we have. But is that even a trouble to us? We do have stony hearts. Is that reality? Well, there's only one place to go, and that's to Jesus. To Jesus, the all-compassionate Savior, who has done so much for sinners will never fully know it. Who can tell the compassion and tender heart of Christ, demonstrated not only by his sympathy, but by his suffering, the wrath of God, the cruelty of man on the cross, tormented in body and soul for sinners like you and me, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Maybe that's all you can say. I'm ungodly, but Christ died for the ungodly. There's hope for you. There's hope for everyone who will only come to Jesus. How can we pass by this merciful, tender-hearted Savior? Oh, how we should come to him like the leper did. to the one who has power going along with his pity and who shows his willingness to cleanse by his wonderful words, "I will, be thou clean." In the fourth place, we have the Savior's willingness to cleanse. Verse 41, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." Jesus was not hindered by any thought of being defiled by the leper who was unclean. No, Jesus had the power to cure. And of course, he cannot be tainted by the leper's condition. And so he touched the leper. No one else would do that. No one would dare to touch a leper. They would scatter away from him. But Jesus touched him. And that of course, showed the connection between the cure and the one who gives the cure. It's Jesus. It's his hand, which also symbolized the healing power, the touch. There was nothing magical about it, but it symbolized the healing power of Christ. The power came from Christ himself, his merciful heart, his power as God. The virtue comes from him to cure the leper. And he also declares his willingness at the same time, "I will, be thou clean." And notice how in these words, Jesus actually claims that absolute authority that we were speaking of. He doesn't say, "Well, I'm obligated to do so." He says, "I will. I have the authority to give or withhold." And he decides who will experience the cure. It's his sovereign will. "I will." He claims it. He claims that sovereignty. It's surely a divine claim. Who else could say, "I will, be thou clean"? Prophets wouldn't say that. They would beseech the Lord to provide a cure. But Jesus gives the cure himself, and he says, "I will," claiming a divine claim. But also, for the comfort of the leper, he says, "I will." He affirms his willingness. Sets his seal to the leper's confidence in his power. So Jesus resolves his doubt, if he really had any doubt. The leper says, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Jesus says, "I will." He dispels all doubt. "I am willing to cure you." But he also sets his seal to the leper's confidence. He, as it were, rewards his confidence by actually doing it. He says, "I will, be thou clean." The leper said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Jesus says, "Be clean." Short words, brief and thorough. So instantaneous was the cure. As soon as he had spoken, there was no delay. The leper, his flesh was restored like a child's. His hands were whole. His thickened eyebrows were normal. There was no more raspy voice, no more stench. Here was a man in perfect health standing before Jesus. And so will it be for you. It will be your experience if by simple faith you look to Jesus. Your spiritual leprosy will be gone, cleansed. Yes, the effects of sin are still there. It's a cure that will reach its completion in heaven. But as far as grace is concerned and the ruling power of sin is concerned, that rule, that governing power is destroyed. Sin does not master you anymore. That is a cure. That's a perfect cure, because the completion of it is pledged in the Word of God, and the experience of it is even now in the overthrow, the complete overthrow of sin's dominion and grace filling the heart and mind. Yes, the mind is enlightened, the will is renewed, and the soul is persuaded and enabled to believe in Christ and follow him. And the leper is given a very strange command it would have been to him and maybe to us. And just briefly, Jesus tells him that he should speak to no one and go show himself to the priest immediately and offer for his cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. The leper was prohibited from publishing the miracle that he experienced. And that was a special circumstance because Jesus was preventing undue attention being drawn to him and leading to the authorities being attracted and bringing things to a crisis. Jesus was taking steps to prevent that. But also it may have been a test of his obedience. Would the leper really obey Jesus? Well, we find that he goes about and he blazes abroad the matter. It's understandable. He is so enthusiastic about the cure he experienced. Who wouldn't do such a thing? He perhaps thought that Jesus was just showing modesty and humility. But no, he should have obeyed. He should have submitted to Christ. And that's what Christ is calling us to, unquestionable obedience, unquestioning obedience. And of course, now there is no prohibition to tell others what the Lord has done for us. And so we should give full expression to our grateful hearts and be telling others, come and hear what the Lord has done for me. I will declare what he has done for my soul. And so we should have hearts that are overflowing with gratitude towards the Lord, because the Lord has called us to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But in closing, let us think about the willingness of Christ. The leper may have doubted, or he may have just admitted the sovereign power of Christ. And he said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. We may be here struggling whether Jesus is willing to help us. We may have no doubt that he has all power to do so. He can certainly save us and deliver us from the guilt and power of sin. But is he willing? Well, doesn't this account take away all doubt about the willingness of Christ? Here is a swift cure. Here is the feeling of compassion of Christ towards this poor leper. Here is one who is actually speaking. Jesus is speaking to the point and to his need. I will. Don't entertain any doubts any longer. I will be thou clean. Now Jesus is the same compassionate Savior. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has a merciful heart towards sinners on earth, even though he's in heaven. And if we come like the leper, he will respond to us even now, just the way he would have responded when he was on earth, exactly the same way. That's the abiding presence of Christ, the eternal sameness of Christ. He turned away no one when he was on earth. He will turn no one away now that he's in heaven. His tender heart remains the same. Do we doubt his willingness? What evidence do we have that he's unwilling to cure us? You might say, well, surely he would have cured me by now if he was willing to do so. Well, my question to you is, have you acknowledged his sovereignty? Do you confide in his power? Here's a real honest question and an honest answer to be given. Do you really want a cure? Are you willing that your enmity would be smashed, that your pollutions would be cleansed away, that the things you love, which are sinful, that love would be gone? Jesus will cure all those who really want a cure. But if you don't want a cure, will Jesus give a cure? If you're like Augustine, who says, Augustine, before he was saved, he said, Lord, convert me, but not yet. Oh, he wanted to enjoy the gladiators. He wanted to enjoy the sinful pleasures. He didn't want to go to hell, but he didn't want to be saved just yet. If we're like that, then we have only ourselves to blame for not being cured. Jesus is willing and ready to help us. He has an infinite willing heart to cure the leprosy of our sin. Perhaps you will admit now that you don't really desire a cure. You have a hard heart. Well then, tell the Lord that. Tell the Lord your heart is hard and you are full of enmity and you admit it. Admit the leprosy of sin. You have such a loathsome, vile disease that it's taking away all feeling. You're the point of just giving up. Admit it. Go to the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't deserve a cure. I don't deserve that the hard heart would be taken away. I don't deserve that I would have a sudden love for holiness and eyes open to see the beauty and glory of Christ. But Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, whatever my condition. I have no choice but to go to thee, whatever I feel. Lord, I come to thee. I'm defiled. I'm hard-hearted. I'm wretched indeed, and I don't even feel it like I should. But if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Thou art able, and I know thou art willing. Thou hast an infinitely compassionate heart to sinners on earth. Even though thou art in heaven, thou art the same. Thou dost turn no one away. Lord, accept me. Receive me. Cure me. In thy unspeakable, sovereign will and infinite condescension, O Lord, do what thou dost do in healing souls. That's what thou hast come to do, to cure me. Thou art able. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Well, hear his compassionate voice. See his stretched out hand, willing to touch vile sinners like you and me. Hear his wonderful voice, moved with compassion. I will. Be thou clean. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Lord, help us, poor sinners, not able to cure ourselves, not able to deliver ourselves from our sin and misery. But oh, that we would have grace, that we would have our eyes opened even a little, to have some understanding of the merciful heart of Christ. Oh, that we would be attracted to him and that we would confide in him. He turned no one away who truly confided in him. Sinners turn themselves away. We put salvation from us, but thou, O Lord, art willing to receive us. Then help us to come. O Lord, put forth thy grace. Enable us to trust and believe in the power and pity of Christ, and his willingness to forgive our sins and heal our souls. O Lord, accept us in Christ. Bless to us thy holy truth. Help us to keep thy day holy and delight in the Sabbath, and forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake only. Amen.